You'll notice the title when you get there. It says, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. Notice verse number 1, if you would. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I want to preach to you tonight from this passage on when you're in trouble. Brian, would you ask God to bless the preaching tonight, please? Amen. All right, look down at verse number 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I think in verse number 10, he's given us a real good piece of advice on how to behave when we're in trouble. He says in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then in verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. I will be exalted, right? So the advice he's giving us on how to behave ourselves when we're in trouble is what you got to do is you got to slow down. When things aren't going well, when you have issues, whatever those issues may be, there is no definition here to the trouble. As I read through the passage and read it again and read it again, I'm not seeing here that he's in trouble for doing wrong, but I'm not seeing here that he's not. Trouble comes in lots of different ways. Trouble can come just because it's a sinful world. That's just how it is. We're still under a curse. There's still weeds that are growing up out of the ground. It's still in the sweat of your brow that you're supposed to bring forth the fruit and supply for your family. There's trouble just in a sinful world. There's trouble that comes from other people's foolishness. And listen, it's bad when it's somebody you love that's acting the fool. My heart breaks for somebody that's trying to serve Jesus Christ, wants to do right, loves the Lord, and yet somebody in their family, whether it be a spouse or a child or even an extended family member or a parent, to see them have to suffer because somebody else they love does not love Jesus Christ like they do, especially when they know better. You know what I mean? Like, it's somebody you care about that is born again and they're saved and they know what they ought to be doing, and yet they still just go crazy on God and go crazy on everything they know they're supposed to be doing, throw it all away to go live for the devil or live for the flesh. That causes a lot of trouble in somebody's life that's not even doing wrong. You can love God all you want, but you can't control what other people that you love do. And that causes trouble. Trouble's caused because you got some lost coworker who's jealous of you and envious of you. Trouble's caused because you're not feeling good. Your spouse isn't feeling good. You don't see eye to eye. I mean, trouble comes from so many different angles, it's not even funny. You know, trouble's brewing right now, according to the news media, in our economy. Inflation and recession and all the talk of that. And man, if you got a job that's going to be affected by that or could be affected by that, man, does that ever start getting in your head if you're not careful? Trouble. Nobody likes trouble. But it's important how we behave ourselves in the trouble. Because if we're not careful, we'll be like that little kid that won't behave when they're in trouble. You ever see him? Of course, you've never been that kid. And of course, your children have never been that. I won't go there. But have you ever seen that kid that when they're in trouble, you're watching the parent and the child interact, and they won't stop. I mean, it's like, you know, mom's over there trying to negotiate with the little brat, right? They're in trouble, but they're not gonna behave even though they're in trouble. They're gonna keep pushing the limit. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this much: when you're in trouble, that is not how you're to act as a Christian. When you have any kind of problem, even if it's a problem of your own making, see, that's another kind of trouble. I've had a lot of trouble in my life because of me. I won't give you the details because you'd enjoy them too much. The juicy gossip. But I've caused a lot of my own trouble. I know that for an absolute fact. I've realized my own foolishness, my own mistakes. And listen, it's not always been, although there have been times, it's not always been in rebellion against God, although there have been those moments in my life. It's not always been that. Sometimes I've gotten myself in trouble because I'm trying to do right or trying to do something that God doesn't want me to do yet. I mean, I've caused a lot of my own trouble. Just my lack of slowing down and thinking things through. My lack of being able to sit still and recognize some things will work themselves out. God Almighty is still on the throne. He is God. I'm to sit still and know that from time to time and say, I might not like how it's happening, when it's happening, whether or not it is happening, what's happening, but every once in a while, I have to just back off and say, God's God and I'm not, and I got to get my hands off it. And man, not learning that lesson has caused me a lot of trouble. But when you're in trouble, most of the time, I have that effect. I'm sorry, Mom. When you're in trouble, a lot of the times, if you don't behave yourself right, you're like that drowning person. When the lifeguard wants to go and rescue that individual, they know they can't because the individual won't calm down and relax in their trouble and listen to instruction. They have to be able to have the ability to snap out of the panic mode of the trouble. Because I don't know much about swimming and I don't know anything about lifeguarding, I know that much, but I do know this much, that if a lifeguard's not careful, they can be drowned by the person they're trying to rescue, right? Yes. Is that a fact? I believe that's a fact. Yes. It's because when they're in their trouble, they don't know how to behave. They're panicking, they're freaking out. And I think a lot of times God's people have that exact issue. It's when the problems start, when the issues arise, when the health problems come, when the financial problems come, when the children problems come, when the marriage problems come, when the work problems come, when the sin problems come. Like, oops, I messed up. Oops, I've been going down the wrong road for months now. Oops, I haven't been paying attention to my walk with Jesus Christ. I've let things slip. I've not been praying like I should. I've not been reading like I should. My conscience has not been sensitive. I've been silencing my conscience. And now it's all built up. And now I'm in trouble because I wound up where I was headed a long time ago. And I wasn't keeping inventory of my life. And because they don't know how to act when they're in trouble, they wind up drowning. There's three things in the passage I want to get to quickly and try to get you out of here tonight that I want you and I to notice. I want God to help us with when it comes to when we're in trouble. Number one, when you're in trouble, all three of my points are in the first verse, but they're all supported throughout the chapter. Number one, when you're in trouble, God is your refuge. You know what you need when you're in trouble? You need a refuge. You need a safe place to go. You need to recognize that, listen, I have all these issues on me. I'm not sure how things are going to work out, how things are going to turn out. I need to slow down for a second. I need to be still for a minute. I need to get to a place that is a safe place and stay in that safe place because I'm in trouble. You know what I see Christians doing nowadays when they're in trouble? Instead of drawing closer to God, they just take off. Instead of running to the Lord, they run from the Lord. Instead of drawing closer to Jesus Christ, being more faithful to church, more faithful to their Bible reading, more faithful to their prayer life, instead of doing what they're supposed to do and getting to a place of refuge, they run from that place of refuge because they're in trouble. You realize this even applies when it's your sin? You know. I think the problem is this. You come to church and you already know in the back of your mind, in the back of your heart, you already know that you've kind of messed up and now you're in trouble. You already know that you've been going for a while down the wrong path and that the Lord has tried to stop you multiple times. Listen, I'm telling you right now, this is how God works. I have never watched God just randomly out of the blue walk up behind one of his kids without telling them at all, right? Like, hey, listen. Go get me one of my Carb Master toasts, put it in the toaster, and bring it in the office for me. Will you please butter it while it's hot so the butter melts? You understand what I'm saying? You tell them what you want them to do, right? God has never like wanted one of his kids to do something but not told them. and then randomly just walked up behind him and just kicked the slats out from under him in the kitchen, you know, and when they hit the floor, just stomp on their head because he wanted them to do something and they had no idea it was coming. You know what God does first? God tells you. God warns you. Your conscience tells you. A little circumstance here, a little circumstance there, a small thing here, a small thing there, a still small voice in the back of your mind here, a still small voice in the back of your mind there, circumstances, all kinds. I am telling you, before the judgment falls, before you're really in trouble, God always seems to tell you first. He is not some kind of a crazy, mean, reckless, brutal, angry father that's just going to be flying off the handle at, you know, God only knows what. He's told you. During that process, you come into church. And you know what happens? The light gets shined on what it is God's been trying to tell you. And boy, when that light hits that spot, a lot of Christians don't like it. It feels too personal. It feels uncomfortable. Can I tell you that even though it feels like it's not your safe place, this place where the Bible is preached is still supposed to be your refuge? I would never go to a doctor that just said, oh, you're fine. Oh, you're fine. I don't want to give you the bad news. Look at my blood work. Ooh. Oh, no. I'm just, it wasn't you. I was thinking about something else. Everything's great. Just go your way. No, a good doctor is there to help you out, right? It's actually a safe place to get to. When you got bad symptoms, you want to get there. You want to find out what it is that's going on. It's a refuge, actually. You know what the church is supposed to be? It's supposed to be a refuge. But when people are going down the wrong way and headed for trouble, they don't want to be at the refuge. They go the opposite way. I didn't hear what I wanted to hear. I'm not coming back. What you need to do when you're in trouble is you need a refuge. You need a safe place. You know why we need a refuge? Because there's a whole lot of fear out there. Look at verse number 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the end of the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waves thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Now you'll notice the Selah, it's a tribulation passage. And obviously in the tribulation period, these things are literally going to be happening. So you see doctrinally where we're at right now. But the application to you and I is really, really, it's sharp. The application to our life is I don't know, exceptionally pertinent right now. It says, therefore we will not fear. Though what? Though the whole world falls apart. That's literally what they're saying. You know, you need a refuge. Why? Because there is a lot of trouble in the world right now. And I'm telling you, the trouble's not going to go away. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to equip you. I'm trying to prepare you for reality. I believe with all my heart, the trouble's not going to go away. It's going to get worse. Nothing else can happen. You want to understand that, right? I mean, listen, I will eat my dirty socks right here on the platform in front of you if I'm wrong. And here's how you'll know I'm wrong. A massive great awakening will hit the United States of America. The church house will be packed. We will be seeing souls saved by the hundreds and by the thousands as America turns back to the God it rejected, as America turns back to the Bible it hates. Hey, listen, that's when I'll eat my dirty socks, because unless that happens, this thing's going to get worse. Because God's God. And he only puts up with the foolishness that's been going on for so long. There are certain sins that God hates. There are certain sins God will judge a nation for. And everything you see the nation around you doing, if you study history, it's what other world superpowers did. The same path they took before they crashed and burned. You think the United States of America won't? I'm telling you, you are living a pipe dream if you think this country can't come down. Oh, it'll turn around. Yeah, it might. You know, it might. We might get a little alleviation. The interest rates might drop again. The inflation might go away. The recession might stop. We might be back into making big money. It might happen, but it might not. Either way, the judgment of God is coming. Trouble is coming, folks. When you're in trouble, you need a refuge because there's too much fear out there. You've got to know where to go to feel safe. Remember being a little kid? having your dad lock up at night, knowing dad's in the house? Just like the doors are locked, the windows are locked, dad's right there, he's just right around the corner. I fall asleep. It's like a place of refuge. It's a safe place. You need that feeling. You need that relationship with God, that understanding of who God is. There's so many things to fear, not just in the world around us, but in our own life. Fear in the future. You don't know what the future holds. You don't fear the future now. Get a little older. You know, it's fearful to think about all the problems that your adult kids might have. Praying over and hoping and seeking God about hopefully them getting the right spouse. Because there's a whole other piece of the equation that comes into the picture, and you just sit there and think about, my goodness, you know, the happy little girl right now, happy young lady right now, sitting around the table laughing and joking and talking about good things, and they're safe, they're provided for, they're taken care of, and I know they're safe, and that makes me feel wonderful. But someday I got to turn them over to somebody else. And boy, you got to hope and pray they pick the right one. Just the future. I mean, as a parent, some of you parents know already. As a parent, to watch your kids go through some things that maybe never even happened to you, but I think it'd be almost as painful to watch my kid have to deal with it. Divorce, abuse, God only knows what. You know what I'm talking about? The future. We don't know what the future holds. You know what I need when I think about that kind of stuff? I need a refuge. I need a place where I can go and just get still and just know that there's a God up there that hears my prayers and that can guide and that can direct and that can lead and that can take care of the future. The past is something people fear. You know why? Because some of you have sowed some wild oats in your past and you're sure afraid that some of those skeletons are going to come out of the closet. You know what else is something to fear? Other people. Yeah, you know, I'm not afraid of any man. Okay, well, I'm not talking like that. I'm just talking you can't control everybody else. You know what else I fear? This is something that I fear. If I'm not staying close to the Lord, I'll tell you something I fear. I fear me. I fear myself. I fear my flesh. I fear making some bad decisions. Seeing how far God has brought me and how good God has been to me and to think about making the wrong decisions now, I fear that. You know what you need in those troubles? You need a safe place, a refuge. Notice, go to 2 Corinthians quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 with me if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. That's not the one. Yeah, no, it's not the one I'm looking for. Without were fightings, within were fears. I wrote down a bum reference here. Do you guys know where that passage is? Paul's talking about all the things he went through. He says, without were fightings, within were fears. I don't think it's chapter 7 here. Is it 5-7? 7-5 says, without were fightings, within were fears. Yes, that is it. Chapter 7, verse 5. He says, look at verse 4, great is my boldness of speech towards you, great is my glorying of you. I'm filled with comfort. I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. Notice what he has. He has troubles. What's Paul saying about his troubles? You see, the whole book of 2 Corinthians is all about the ministry. And Paul uses over 24 words to describe the ministry, and almost every single one of them is negative. He's saying, I'm serving God, I'm giving fully to the ministry, and I am telling you, in the ministry, there's nothing but trouble. He says, I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. You know what you need when you're in trouble? You need a refuge. How can a guy say, I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation? Now, think about that for a minute. That is so paradoxical. It makes absolutely no sense for a man to say, yeah, my life is brutal. I've got so much problems, so much trouble, and I got so much joy. You know, if you know there's going to be problems, if you know that, listen, God, the judgment of God's coming on this nation, if you know that's a fact, don't you want to know where to go to have joy throughout it? Or do you want to just be another person with ulcers, panicking and freaking out and having heart attacks from the stress and living on the edge of your seat 24/7? Or do you want to be able to just relax and say, listen, I got a refuge, and I know there's a lot of trouble out there. I got a refuge, and in the trouble, I got a ton of joy, and I'm thankful for that. Look at verse 5. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. You ever notice how that happens? When it gets on, it doesn't just come one thing at a time. It comes from everywhere. It's like you go through phases that everything's good. How's it going? Great. Everything's great in my life. Like, really, everything's great. And then it's like, no, everything's horrible. It never seems like, it's like we had to go to the doctor and we found out bad news and then they charged us so much money. Now we have financial problems on top of health problems, right? And then we can't sleep, so now we're exhausted. And since we're exhausted, stressed, and running out of money, we're kind of at each other's throats, so now we got marriage problems too. That's reality. Paul said, listen, our flesh had no rest. That's how much trouble we had. But we were troubled on every side with outward fightings. That was where the problems were coming from. And within, what did Paul say? The apostle Paul had fears. Does that encourage you? Nevertheless, look at verse 6. I told you that 2 Corinthians is all about the ministry, and there's a bunch of negative words describing it, but you know, like the theme or the reoccurring theme of 2 Corinthians is the word comfort. God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Back to Psalm chapter number 46, please. Without were fightings, within were fears. You know what God did in the middle of all Paul's problems? God stepped in and said, hey, Paul, I want you to know I'm God. And I know exactly what's going on. And I'm here with you. And everything's going to be all right. He felt a comfort of the Holy Ghost of God when he was in trouble. In your life, you're going to have trouble. You can either have trouble with God or you can have it without him. Right. But you're going to have it. God will not go down to the far country with you. So if you want to go have trouble, then go. But you're not going to experience the things that you'll get if you'll stay with God in your trouble. These things you'll get a refuge. You need a refuge because of fear. You need a refuge because you need a defense. He says God is our refuge and strength, right? A refuge is a defense. Look at verse number 9. You need a defense because there's wars. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. You know what there is? There's war going on. You know what the Christians are in right now? They're in heavy bombardment. That's exactly what's going on with you. Heavy bombardment. The devil's not going to back off. He's not going to back off on our children. He's not going to back off on our church. He's not going to back off on us. This world around you is not going to back off. I mean, they are going to push their agendas. They're going to get more and more aggressive about it. They're going to get more and more outspoken about it. And they're going to insist more and more on you being quiet about it being wrong. The bombardment will not stop. Every direction you turn, it's going to keep coming at you. You know what you need? A refuge. When bombs are coming in, you need a bomb shelter. You can't stop the war. And you're called to fight the war. You're told to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. You're told that you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not going to stop. Now, I'm not trying to freak you out and wear you out. I'm trying to tell you it's not going to stop. So you know what you got to be able to do? You got to have a place where you can go and put your feet up. If you want to last, You got a place where you have a place where you can go and shut the door and shut the shutters and shut it all out and have just a place of absolute calm and peace and comfort and joy no matter what your trouble is. And that place is God. In the midst, without the problems changing, without the problems going away, there's a way to shut them all out and just say, I'm safe. And I can breathe. And I'm going to be all right. You need a place of defense because of the bombardment of the enemy, because of the heathen in verse number 10. He says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You realize that the heathen aren't going to stop. Now, you know that this hasn't happened yet, right? This is a millennia. He's in reference here to the millennium. And that day is coming when he will be exalted among the heathen, but as of right now, he is not. They still curse his name, they still blaspheme his name, and they still hate people that follow him. And they're going to hate you more as time goes on. I'm getting weirded out now. I guess I'm starting to get a little bit older. I'm not saying that I'm old, so don't roll your eyes at me, but I guess I'm getting a little bit older because you see these news stories, you know, this guy's going to kill Kavanaugh, right? And he comes all the way from California, and he's got weapons and all the rest of this stuff. So I'm pulling it up. I'm expecting to see a legit grown man. You know what I mean? Some murderer that's got this thing well planned out. And I'm looking at something that could be like my son. I'm looking at this chubby-cheeked kid. You know what I mean? I'm like, what in the world is that? He's like, he looks like a baby. And he's flying from California over here to Kavanaugh's house to kill the justice? Now, that's a little frightening, isn't it? That's a generation that's been raised without a God, without a refuge, without a Bible, without a dad in his home. We'll get to that Sunday morning. Without some things that men have to have just to be able to function normally in life. And you wait till the ones that he's old enough to be a dad at 20 years old. For all we know, he might have kids running around. You wait till his kids are grown up. You might still be here. Some of you younger folks will be my age. You think about that now. You better learn. You better learn. You better learn. You better learn where your refuge is in trouble. You better learn where to get to. Because the trouble is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. But I'm telling you, we can still have joy as Christians. We can still have comfort of the Holy Ghost. We can still have the power of God and a usefulness in this world if we'll learn how to deal with trouble. And I'm telling you, if you don't learn how to deal with trouble, you won't make it. Number two, when you're in trouble, you need a refuge. Number two, when you're in trouble, you need strength in verse number one. God is our refuge and strength. God is so strong, he can make wars to cease. Verse 9. Now you think about that for a minute. That's a powerful God. You know why? These Yahoo politicians have been talking for years and years and years about ending war. You know what is not going to end? War. Until Jesus Christ sits on the throne in Jerusalem, war will not end. And at the end of that 1,000 years, there's another war coming. You're not going to see the end of war until eternity future. There was... I'm so tired of this dumb talk about negotiating and all that stuff. It is absolutely true. The most powerful nation in the world will run the world if it will use its power to run the world. That's the only way to get it done. And you better hope that's a nation that's peaceful, at least peaceful to your agenda. You need a God that's pretty strong. I'm telling you, the way this world's operating and the way the temptations are operating and the way the pressure's coming, we need strength. You need strength to walk with God. You need strength to be faithful to church. You need strength to stay in your Bible. You need strength to raise your children right. You need strength to love your spouse. You need strength to keep your mind right and your heart right and your eyes right. You need the strength of Almighty God to resist the temptation. Hey, God is our refuge and strength. When you're in trouble, you know what you get? You get weak. You know why? You don't like trouble any more than I do. The older I get, the more I like peace. I know I like to fight. I have always liked to fight. I don't know what that is, but something about the balance of it. It's peace, just like the more you've fought, not just physically, but like had fights and disagreements and problems with people, and like the more that you've had those, the less appealing they are.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It's just kind of nice to put your feet up with a nice comfy blanket in a girl world, right? That's my world, a girl world. It's calm, it's peaceful, it's gentle. And just feel like you're safe and there's peace. And you know what? I don't want to hear it. When they start fighting, sometimes we let them work it out. Other times we're like, that's enough!
Right.
And then they go upstairs and they finish when we can't hear. You know what I mean? We'll take this outside. Okay, get out of here. You know what I mean? Why? Something about peace. You're not going to get peace, folks, until the Prince of Peace is sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. You know what you need between here and there? You need strength. Why? Because of the wars. He's such a powerful God, he can end them, and one day he will, but in the meanwhile, we got to keep fighting. Look at his voice in verse number 6. See how powerful God is. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. Now you think about that. With his voice, he created the worlds, right? And it says right there, when he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. You know how God's going to burn it up at the end of the millennium? With his words. Are you getting the point? Do you know when you're in trouble where your strength comes from? It comes from his words. I don't push the Bible on you every time you're here. Just because I have some kind of an agenda. I am telling you, this book will give your soul the strength it needs to push through in trouble. I'm not pushing you to be in church because I'm trying to grow the church or because it's somehow or another I get some kind of a benefit off of it. I push you to be faithful to be in church because you will find your strength comes from the preaching of the Word of God. God hath in these due times manifested his word through preaching. You know what people do whenever they're in trouble? I'm not feeling good today. I'm just going to stay home. I'm going to tell you something right now. I will almost guarantee it. I will almost guarantee it. The times you stay home were the times that God had something here for you that was going to give you the strength you needed to keep you going. And you buckled under the pressure and sat home when you should have come to church. Well, we got a bad spirit, and I don't want to go in there and ruin it. I've heard this one lots. We don't want to bring our bad spirit into the church. That is a super spiritual way to get out of doing what you know God wants you to do. And don't give yourself that much credit of being able to destroy the spirit for all the rest of us. If you're pouting and acting like a baby, we'll just walk by you and ignore you and have a good time anyhow. Amen? But be here anyways. Why? Because you need your strength. God is your strength. Isn't it funny that in a passage like this, when we're talking about trouble and wars come up, waters roaring, earth moving, mountain being cast into the sea, wars and all this stuff going on, he says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Ain't that pretty cool? This book is so masterfully put together, only God himself could have done it. In other words, this voice that's so powerful that it can melt the earth. This voice that's so powerful that it can fling the stars out into space and create the universe is the still small voice that will speak peace and comfort and strength and help and refuge to your heart. Isn't that cool? It's like my daddy is so big and so powerful, he could kill everybody in the world, and everybody is afraid of my daddy, but not me. Because he loves me. and I'm close to Him. And as long as I'm doing what He wants me to do and obeying His voice, I'm safe. He ain't going to hurt me. He loves me. He's my protection. That still small voice was what got Elijah through his trouble when he was sitting in the cave. The wind came, the fire came, all these other things, wind rending the mountains. None of that stuff, the earthquake, none of that stuff affected Elijah. But the still small voice is what helped him. I love that about the Lord. Last thing, when you're in trouble, you know what you need? It's back in verse number 1. You need a refuge, you need strength, and you need a very present help in trouble. You know what I like about that? This isn't one of those, I'm praying and waiting for the answer to prayer. Do you see that? Do you understand that happens a lot? You're praying and you're waiting for an answer to prayer and it's not coming and you're frustrated because the answer to prayer isn't coming, right? I'm talking about trouble when it's bad. You know what God is? He is Johnny on the spot. You realize that, don't you? He is there, I mean there in your trouble. I will tell you this, you got to watch for Him. Because when you're in trouble, you're going to be distracted and frustrated and confused, right? You're going to be so overwhelmed by all the things that are coming with outward fightings, with inward fears, we're troubled on every side. And all that noise and all that distraction and all the bombardment and all the rest of the things that happen, you're going to be so surrounded by all your own thoughts and by your own fears and by everything else, you're going to miss Him if you're not careful. I'll promise you that, you'll miss Him. He will do things and say things and guide things. I like to call them handfuls of purpose. God will drop them for you. But you got to be looking for Him. When you're in trouble, He's a very present help. You know, God's done it for me. God, I'm not going to go into all the details of it. God did something for me like that yesterday. He lined up like two different people to help out with something that was really silly. And the other person had to point it out to me that it was God because the circumstances of the day would not have lined out that way. And I just had to stop for a second and go, you know what? I almost missed. This is a blessing, man. This is God helping me out with something carnal, something silly, something I probably would have never figured out on my own and would have drove myself crazy trying to figure it out. And God lined it all up. I mean, God lined everything up so that the problem got fixed. And you know what I'm ashamed of? I'm ashamed of myself because honestly, I almost missed it. God is a very present help. He's not an AWOL father. When you're in trouble, you need God's help now. You don't need God's help tomorrow. You don't need God's help next week. When you're in trouble, you need God's help now. And you know what God will be? He'll be a very present help. You know what I believe the problem is? I believe the problem is most of us don't know God. Most of us haven't taken the time to be still and know that I am God in verse number 10. We've never really got acquainted with Him when everything's going good. We aren't faithful to Him when we don't have trouble. We're not committed to Him when everything's smooth sailing and the sun is up and the breeze is flowing and the waves aren't just kind of tiny little ripples that just create a nice little white noise in the background of peace and calm in our life. It's like, who needs God? I got a lot to do. I got a job. I got a house to take care of. I'm busy. I got sports. I got everything else to take care of. Who needs God? But all of a sudden when we're in trouble, it's like, I've been praying and God didn't show up. Maybe the problem was you don't know Him. You don't recognize when He is there because you ain't been walking with Him in the good times. When you're in trouble, you need a relationship with God. He says in verse number four, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Notice that verse, that word, that phrase there. There is a river in verse 4. Do you know in Ezekiel chapter 47, it shows us in the millennium there's a river coming right out of the temple? You know, in eternity future, there's a river coming right out of the New Jerusalem. That's a pretty cool thought, man. To go try to read those passages and figure out what all it's saying and what all is going on. There's a life-giving river coming from where God dwells and flowing out to the world. You know what there is right now, tonight, right here, according to John chapter 7? There's a river. Out of his belly shall flow rivers. It says there's a river and the streams thereof. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know what you have? You have rivers of living water coming from God. And it tells you in John chapter 7, he's speaking of the Holy Ghost. You and I have the indwelling Holy Ghost of God that is here now to meet our needs. There's streams, there's rivers coming out of that. You know what God will give you? He'll give you grace, streams of grace. I don't know if you understand what grace is, but if you don't, you should go home and do a Bible study on it. Get out your concordance and look up the word grace. Grace doesn't just have to do with salvation. Grace can be applied to our lives in lots of ways. Sometimes God, all he does for you in your trouble, the way he's a present help, the way he's a refuge, the way he's a strength, is though your life is a train wreck right now, he gives you the grace to just go through it. And people are looking at you like, how can you be so okay? And your answer is, I don't know, but I'm okay. I mean, I got God. That's all I can tell you is God must be here. Boy, that river needs to keep flowing. If you don't stay still and know that he's God and stay close to him, that river can dry up. Rivers of grace, there's rivers of peace. I need the peace of God in my life. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you're also called in one body, and be ye thankful. I want the peace of God in my heart. You know, when I got the peace of God in my heart and somebody else doesn't, I'm okay. Yeah, they treated me rude. They didn't shake my hand. They got no. Oh, guess they're having a bad day. Why? Because I got peace. They don't have to like me. It doesn't even bother me that they don't like me. I don't even care that they're mad at me. I have the peace of God. I'm not talking about some put-on peace. I'm talking about a river that's a fresh flow running from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God into my mind and heart and flowing out through my life. I want that in my trouble. I want the peace of God. I know trouble's coming. I've had plenty already, and I realize if I'm allowed to live much longer, I got more coming. I'm not asking God to keep me away from all trouble. I know it comes in life. But I am asking God for those rivers in my trouble. Rivers of refreshing. You know what you need from time to time? You need to be refreshed. I'm telling you, I know by experience. I'm speaking for me and you. Serving the Lord, going through the mundane routine, the duty, the drag, the norm, the distractions, especially when trouble comes. You need that fresh flow. That refreshment, that reboot, that back to square one, that sort of start over. Just rivers of refreshment. Boy, I hope you can get that. I want this place to be that for you. You know what there's rivers of? There's rivers of fellowship. Man, I'm thankful for the fellowship. I'm talking about the fellowship of the brethren. Do you know how refreshing it is to me to have brothers and sisters in Christ that love Jesus Christ and want to serve God and stick it out in their troubles and make it? To watch some of you come, get interested, stay, grow, then to watch the devil attack you in so many different ways. I mean, I've been watching it now since COVID. You know, we bounced back from COVID. That was a tough one. We watched the devil do a lot there. And then to see the church just blossom like it's done here in the last year and a half. And then to watch people just really catching on, and to see you growing, and to see your spirit. And then to watch the devil just start lobbing in those bombs, man. And they come from so many different directions. And then to see you get hit, see you sort of teeter a little bit, and make your mind up which way you're going, and then make the right decision. My goodness, man, you know what that does for me? You got no idea what that does for me. Because the devil hits me with some bombs here and there. And part of that defense in my trouble, part of that strength in my trouble, part of that very present help in my trouble is to know that, hey, I know some guys that also got hit and they're still going. You see that? That fellowship. That's a river. But the most important river is that fellowship with God. He says, be still and know that I am God. You know what I appreciate about the Lord? His mercies are new every morning. I read my Bible and I prayed this morning. I did my devotions. I did them satisfactory to what I felt like I needed to do. I'm happy about that. That's not every day, right? Lest you think I'm being super spiritual. It's not every day. But I did. You know what I like about the Lord tomorrow morning? He'll still be there. He still wants to walk with me. He still wants to talk with me. He wants to take me through the day tomorrow. I love the Lord for that. I know in my trouble, I can go shut myself in my prayer closet, get on my face, and God will be there. Verse 5. God is in the midst of her. Look at it again in verse number 11, I believe it is. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know what I need when I'm in my trouble? I need to know that the Lord's with me. If you know the Lord's with you, and you've learned by experience to sit still and know that He's God, and to know His presence, then when you're in your trouble, God will show up in a way that will strengthen you, that will protect you, and that'll get you a very present, immediate help in the middle of your problem. He will help you with that problem. But I do not believe in treating God like a spare tire. Now, I'm done with this. I want to be careful about how I make this final statement here, because I don't want to speak for God in a way that's inappropriate. But I will say this. I'll say it this way. I don't personally believe in treating Him like a spare tire. I don't believe you throw him in the trunk and shut the trunk and forget about him and then only freak out, panic, pop the trunk and try to pull God out when you need him. And I think a lot of people treat God like that. And then maybe some of the conversations that I've had with some people when it's like, well, I did. I asked God and God didn't. Me, Lord, I didn't know why God wouldn't let me. I'm thinking like, you know, you're really talking tough about God, but I just wonder. I'm not speaking for the Lord right now. I'm telling you my thoughts. I wonder if maybe God's saying, I'm sorry, I just didn't recognize that voice. I know you're crying out to me now. See, I'm careful about this because I know how gracious He is, and I know how He steps up and helps people out when they're in their trouble, even though they don't care about Him when they don't have any trouble. But I just wonder. I wonder why we expect Him to be the spare tire when we don't care in the good times to be still and know that He's God. If we'll be still and know He's God now, then we'll be able to say with the psalmist here, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, Psalm 46 verse 1 is the verse that's on Martin Luther's tombstone. There's a man that knew it and lived it and said, that's the verse right there. What a great example, and God used him mightily, but God was there for that man. God was his refuge, God was his strength, and God was his help. And He'll do the same for me and you. All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, I love You tonight. Thank You for being who You are. Thank You for being our refuge. Thank You for being our strength. Thank You for being our help.